The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Two rallies, two candidates, and a clear choice as to which candidate will make America great again. Your thoughts on this topic? We'll take your calls, 855-839-1210, as we move forward. Hey, good morning. Dawn Stensland here, continuing on. I do want to hate you. Dan Borowski's in the house. Jimmy Kelly's in the house. And you too. So the two presidential nominees campaigning in Pennsylvania, because the battleground state of Pennsylvania, I think we can all agree, and all the pundits seem to agree, Pennsylvania is where it's at and paves the road to the White House. And that's what's going on, our coveted electoral votes. So in one case, and we'll get to the Trump rally, but I want to point out to you that Vice President Kamala Harris is, very strong words for Donald J. Trump during her rally in the northwestern part of the state last night in Erie, as she is claiming that his behavior is unhinged, that he's unstable. And I want to get to that and get your thoughts. And that's because of that comment, the enemy from within. So I do want to get to this and her new strategy. But one point I also want to make to you, as I look at all of these headlines, and I often do this just as a media person, right? I looked at the headlines this morning and I saw, Kamala Harris blasts Trump for disinformation with regard to his visits to North Carolina and the Carolinas and Florida. And I think, my goodness, where are the stories about more than 251 people killed? Did you know this? I mean, 251 souls gone from this earth, wow. Dozens of children among them, the school districts, especially in North Carolina, releasing the numbers of how many students they've lost.
Wow.
Young children and babies.
That's so sad.
This is happening in America. Why isn't this should be the story that our nation should be hearing. 251 people in our country have been killed, and this death toll rises by the minute. They're searching for bodies. All of these missing individuals that hopefully they will find. You heard the stories during the storms, during the aftermath, and even during the aftermath of Helene and then Milton and Florida and all the southern states, seven states in total. But where are we hearing about this? Devastation, thousands, tens of thousands of people still without power, impassable roadways, missing people. I don't even have a count for how many people are missing across the seven states, but it appears, depending on where you look, a minimum of 251 people confirmed dead and many others feared dead. Why isn't this a headline? Why is that? And that's a sin if you want to talk about it. So I just want to put that into some level of perspective. But Kamala Harris really unleashing a new strategy that, quite frankly, I think is a good strategy, because clearly I think she's uncomfortable before these rallies, and they're trying to do bigger rallies. They're trying to look Trump-esque, if you will. And so she's trying to have that look. So they came up with the idea with creating a situation where they can have play video. And I joked earlier, it's like Greg Stocker, they Kamala's cut sheet. But seriously, it allows her to not detail her own policies and thus policy failures. Because remember, she is the current administration, doesn't own it. But do you want to go with that first?
What's on the cut sheet?
Kamala, cut sheet.
Is someone who will stop at nothing to claim power for himself. And you don't have to take my word for it. I've said for a while now, watch his rallies. Listen to his words. He tells us who he is. And he tells us what he would do if he is elected president. So here tonight, I will show you one example of Donald Trump's worldview and intentions. Please roll the clip.
The worst people are the enemies from within.
The enemy from within. Those people are more dangerous, the enemy from within, than Russia and China.
These people should be put in jail the way they talk about
our judges and our justices. Now, if you had one really violent day, one rough hour, and I mean real rough.
It's really awkward that she's just standing there and
yeah.
People from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're the and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
So they boo, and now she stands there, gets the reaction, and then goes on. So she really is, well, I guess when she loses on November 5th, maybe she hopes for a career, you know, here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. She could just go to the cut sheet.
You're listening to the Kamala Show.
What do you think? If anybody can talk it with credibility, I will just tell you about the enemy within from so many levels. Whether you think about the millions of people who have come into our country, who, by the way, their home countries had them jailed and wanted them to leave, and then thus their crime rates went down. So, but think about Trump as somebody who was the survivor of assassination attempts, was shot in the ear July 13th, Butler, Pennsylvania. And we'll play that audio with the two survivors because, of course, our great firefighter and hero, Corey Comparator, 50-year-old dad, shielding his wife and daughters. He was shot to death that day. So if anybody can talk about the enemy from within, I think it's Donald J. Trump. What do you think, Dan? Do you want to play some of his clips from last night's rally? Because I want
we still have more of the Kamala if you want.
Oh, Kamala's cuts.
Well,
okay.
If you want, it's up to you. I don't know if you want the cup show with Kamala to continue or not. It's debatable.
Right. Just a little.
Just a little bit? Here's some more.
Radical left lunatics. And I think they're the... And it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
So you heard his words. You heard his words coming from him. He's talking about the enemy within Pennsylvania. He's talking about the enemy within our country, Pennsylvania. He's talking about that he considers anyone who doesn't support him or who will not bend to his will,
which is clearly not what he's talking about.
An enemy of our country. It's a serious issue. He is saying that he would use the military to go after them. Think about this. And we know who he would target. And we know who he would target because he has attacked them before. Journalists whose stories he doesn't like. Election officials who refuse to cheat.
What was that word she's thinking?
By filling extra votes and finding extra votes for him. Judges who insist on following the law instead of bending to his will. This is among the reasons I believe so strongly that a second Trump term would be a huge risk for America and dangerous.
Ooh, dangerous. So
your rhetoric is dangerous, Kamala.
Yes. I mean, here's somebody who's, the guy can't golf. They said, Mr. President, you cannot golf because it's too dangerous. Right? So this is insane. Here are some of the headlines. MSNBC, Trump's military solution for enemies within, in quotes. Trump's anti-immigrant domestic enemy rhetoric in focus. That's CBS News. Barron's. Here's Barron's. Trump's enemy from within talk takes a disturbing new turn.
Oh, come on.
CNN, Trump suggests using military against the enemy from within. So this is, they're going with the narrative, following her lead. And is this not dangerous rhetoric? Are these not dangerous fake news headlines? Clearly, we know what Trump was talking about. I know J.D. Vance has talked about this and no doubt will address it again when he's in Montgomery County in Lafayette Hill today. But I mean, this to me is incredible that they don't get it. What Trump is referring to when he's talking about people who, first of all, we know, we have confirmation in the FBI director's own words, the Border Patrol officials' own words, as far as dangerous individuals. They don't know exactly where they are, but they know there are terrorists who have snuck in. They're still looking for at least 100 people who are on the terrorist most watched list, worldwide watch, by the way. They're in this country right now as we speak. And also we know that there are dangerous killers and criminals and pedophiles and you name it, violent offenders who are in this country who we know their criminal records from their home countries, by the way, let out of prison or escape prison, whatever. So that's what he's talking about, the enemy from within. All right, do you want to go to the Butler, PA survivors here?
Yeah, I got two directions. We can either go to the Butler, PA survivors, or I got the Trump town hall yesterday. I do think the Butler, PA survivors is probably better right now, though.
More topical, and then we'll come around the break and we'll bring you the latest on. But if you attended the rally, I would love to hear from you with the Trump rally. So this is an incredible story, and kudos to NBC News for putting these two gentlemen together. And thank God that James Copenhaver and David Dutch, thank goodness they survived this. They've been healing. And the only updates really that we've received were from Trump himself. But this was an NBC exclusive. James Copenhaver is 74. David Dutch is 57 years old. And this is NBC News interviewing the men together and what they have to say as far as what happened and who they blame for this violence.
I was more mad about it than anything. I mean, I was in the service, went through a war, didn't even get a scratch, and then you go to a rally and you get shot in a crowd.
What were you mad about?
The security, the fact they tried to shoot the president, shot into a defenseless crowd. That
Pennsylvania residents David Dutch and Jim Copenhaver didn't know each other until they became linked by tragedy. They each were hit with bullets aimed at former President Trump during that assassination attempt in Butler.
Jim, when did you realize something was wrong?
When I saw part of my sleeve go away and I heard, I heard it distinctly. And I turned around to my friend and I said, I think I was shot.
Copenhaver, who is 74, now walks with a cane. He was shot twice. One bullet tore into his tricep, a scar he could show us. But the other bullet is still lodged in his body, taking chunks of his colon and leaving him with nerve damage.
Feels like somebody's taking a cigarette and burning right in the middle of my leg.
Attorneys for both men say this video shows them getting shot. Copenhaver in the white long sleeve, Dutch further right in the American flag t-shirt. The bullet that hit Dutch split his liver.
It was like getting hit with a sledgehammer right in the chest. I could feel my ribs were all busted up. So I was kind of just holding it.
You could feel your ribs?
Oh, yeah.
Pennsylvania's governor says firefighter Corey Compontori was shot and killed while trying to protect his family at the rally. Congress and the Secret Service are now investigating. The head of the Secret Service resigned. The agency has called Butler a failure, acknowledging communication breakdowns.
Did the Secret Service fail former President Trump and fail you that day?
Oh, yes. Big time.
It was a rush job, you know. It was put together too quickly, and they skipped steps.
The FBI says there was a second attempt on former President Trump's life, which the Secret Service was able to stop. And just this weekend, a man in California was arrested allegedly for having weapons and ammo in his car as he tried entering a Trump rally. That man has said he actually supports Trump and denies he was trying to assassinate him.
So that's NBC. And I think it's, harrowing when you see the video of them being shot. But to hear about the fact that they're still, I mean, it sounds to me that these injuries are lifelong injuries, that they will, you're thinking about your liver, having a bullet in your body and your liver being shot like that. Oh, my God. But yes, that they blame the Secret Service. I don't know that there are lawsuits that have erupted, but I imagine there will be legal action here. So we'll continue on with that. Let's take a quick break. Let's go to, when we come around the break, we'll talk more because I want to get into the Trump rally last night in Oaks, because this is the tale of two stories. For those of you who I've heard from personally who enjoyed the rally and attended the Trump rally in Oaks, It was a great experience. And unfortunately, there were medical emergencies because it got hot in there. They didn't have air conditioning. And so that's the tale that Trump supporters are telling, your experience if you were there. But I wonder if you were there and then you saw the news coverage and you saw as if it was a completely different event. And when I talk about media malpractice or bias by omission, well, now you know if you were there. Pennsylvania, the road to the White House, as we've talked about. So former President Donald Trump's town hall in Oaks, Pennsylvania, which is, what, 20, 25 miles outside of Philadelphia. It had to be cut short because, first of all, it got so hot in there. And, you know, we played you that audio earlier this morning where Trump said, please, can we open the doors, let the fresh air in?
Yeah.
You know, because they didn't have the AC. It was just hot. And, you know, you have, first of all, they, you know, this time of year, usually it shouldn't be that warm, but they didn't have the AC. And then on top of it, they don't have the doors open. And then you have the huge crowd with all the body heat, literally. So two people needed medical attention. And so that's why they had to cut it short. You should see the headlines. He was fielding questions from voters with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem moderating when a man in the crowd, I think the man was the first one who fainted about a half an hour in. And so it seems to me that he was initially just trying to create a soothing, calming atmosphere where he asked them to please, you know, work quickly, you know, help the guy, but can you play Ave Maria? I know that he loves, opera music and that sort of thing, but I think he thought it would be soothing to people as well. And to the man who was obviously had fainted and the EMS workers. Do you want to play a little bit of that?
Yeah,
Dan?
You want to play it out as it happened?
Yeah.
Because you can hear, so here in the back, this is the second person passing out here, fainting. And you can hear Trump answering the question. And in the background, you can faintly hear some commotion. And then you can clearly hear people starting to yell, medic. And then this is where all that happens that you just described. Take a listen.
We're going to finish the wall. But how are you going to handle the deportation of criminals?
So, if you've watched any of our last rallies, we have a Criminal Aliens Act of 1798. That's a long time ago. And it gives the president tremendous power to do what has to be done to secure our country. And you're right, you know. So, if you look at the polls, it says that the number one issue is the economy. Number two is inflation. Let's even put them together. And number three is the border. I disagree. I think I agree. I do agree with you. The number one issue this country has.
Can you hear them calling medic?
Put the AC, it's steaming in here, someone said.
Mm-hmm. So this is, if you've been to the Oaks Expo Center, you know it's a huge center. By the way, nobody's talking about the crowd. It's a huge crowd. It's packed. And he's, you can hear him.
No, yeah.
See, he's a leader. He's just a natural leader. Look at him. He's saying, can you open the doors and play out? He is trying to soothe the crowd, first of all. And music does that. He knows that. But he's also saying, can you open the doors? The media, you should see the media headlines. And by the way, Harris's campaign posted on social media claiming that Trump acted confused when asked if they should end the event and play a walk-off song. And Harris posted, hope he's okay. So they're playing this whole thing off. Now, if you were there, that's why I want to hear from people. Was he confused? Was this a... You know, they're basically saying, hey, won't release his doctor's notes because the guy is mentally not there and he's old, he's aged. That's really what they're saying.
So we got some callers who actually were there last night. Susan and Winmore, let's go to first. Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Oh, hi, Dan.
Dan and Dawn, thanks for calling, Susan.
Oh, hi, Dawn.
Hi.
Yeah, I was there last night, and the first man that passed out was not sitting too far from me, and He was down for probably about 15 minutes. A bunch of paramedics came in, rendered assistance to him. They took his shirt off. He was as white as a ghost, soaking wet with sweat. They got him on a stretcher and took him out. And as soon as they got out the door with him, somebody on the other side passed out. So they called in more paramedics. Donald Trump called the Secret Service over to ask if they would open the doors, and they said that they couldn't because of security reasons. The temperature in the room was ridiculously hot. My shirt was soaking wet from sweating. They had run out of bottled water. I left shortly, about maybe 10 minutes after they took the second person out. And Donald Trump couldn't have been more concerned and more caring. He was so worried about everybody. And then once I got outside, I had to assist a 82-year-old man whose son had just brought him out because he has cardiac issues and he was overheated and dizzy. So I sat with him till his son went and got his truck to come get him. I sat talking to him the whole time to keep him coherent. I'm glad I was there for 9 hours yesterday because I met a lot of really nice people.
That's wonderful.
But it was really upsetting. And the way that they're portraying this on the news.
Susan, can I just read you three headlines? And I want your reaction, Susan, and to those of you who were there. Number one, New York Times. Trump bobs his head to music for 30 minutes in odd town hall detour. Number two, crowd leaves early. This is Newsweek. Crowd leaves early as Trump dances to music on stage
for
39 minutes. That's Newsweek. And NBC News, I'm not making this up, NBC News, Trump turns political event into surreal listening party. So, Susan, you were there. Are any of the, is there any truth to these? These are all the headlines.
Absolutely not. The way that they're making it look is that Donald Trump stopped answering questions from people in the audience and that he decided to just play music and dance around for 39 minutes. And it couldn't have been further from the truth. And, yeah, I saw those headlines. I actually posted them on my Facebook page. It's disgusting the way that media puts a spin on things when it comes to Donald Trump. It's sickening. And people believe this nonsense.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And another caller I want to take real quick because painting a completely opposite picture of the headlines is Mike, who says he just observed so many great things at the rally.
Aww. Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Dawn. Yeah, I got there at 12, got in line with thousands of people that were really positive and happy, and it was a fantastic event. As many women as men, as many young people as old people, everyone being happy and confident, and they opened up the doors, and people just kept coming and coming. Unfortunately, whoever organized it was not too well off. They did not do things right. I'm 70 years old. I had to leave an hour before he got there because I knew bad things were going to happen. I've been at rock concerts that were handled better than this. And Donald Trump unfortunately walked into a keg that was really ready to blow up. I just knew bad things were going to happen. So I went outside and I watched as the cars, when they brought him in, I went around back and watched the entourage bring him in. And he was supported by police all over Pennsylvania. It was wonderful.
Bad things happen in Philadelphia. Bad things.
Oh, man. They just loved him so much. The crowd loved him so much. But whoever organized the venue has to be criticized tremendously. It was unsafe. It was overheated. And Trump, just when he walked on stage, things were already going bad. There was absolutely nothing he could have done. And it's a shame because the people, we had so much fun all day long outside. And then they squished too many people. And they shut the doors and there were still 1,000 people outside wanting to get in. I mean, who organized this thing? But
well,
you can't point at Trump at all.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for clear. And here's the and I wanted to go last night. I was all signed up, but I couldn't go. I'll talk about that later. But thank you so much. And that's part of the reason that I feel like I want more people to go to these things and record with your phone. You know what I'm saying? From the crowd standpoint. Because I feel like there's all of this disinformation, all of these, here are other ones, and these are mainstream, allegedly, news, Trump crowd leaves early as audience is made to listen to music for 39 minutes.
Forced to listen to music.
Forced to listen. And they've said that the Trump crowd was forced, and they left early, which was, you know, that Harris's, you know, that was how she triggered Trump in the ABC News debate. This is a lie. And this is the kind of thing that I think, unfortunately, is why people don't trust the media, especially from, if you're from the right or if you're just paying attention. That's a sin. That's terrible. And also, they're denying the fact that there should be an investigation. What happened here? This is a huge expo center, and we need to look into this and find out. You know, I'm just wondering, like, what was going on with that? Did they know? They should have known it would have gotten that hot with that many people. So was this negligence, or was it on purpose? Because this did happen in Blue Montgomery County. I have to ask the question. So 855-839-1210, the number to call. And we'll continue the conversation. I need to go because we do have Meg Brock, who's going to be calling in as well. Got to talk about the kitchen, because when it comes to your home, and especially my kitchen, trust is everything. 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision and care. I'm talking about custom cabinets, countertops, backsplashes, storage solutions. Kitchen Magic gets the job done, and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades. Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Put this on the calendar. KitchenMagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Tell them Dawn sent you. The latest poll just published this morning, with two-thirds of all Americans saying no to FEMA money for people who are coming into our country, especially those coming in here, flooding in illegally. Two-thirds of Americans think that FEMA, for example, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, should not be used to provide free housing to illegal immigrants. And this is a new poll by Harvard Caps, and it's the Harris poll as well. And so I just want to point that out to you as we bring in our next guest, and think about these polls over and over and over as people say, hey, this is not about, you know, we don't want to seem like we don't care. Of course, we're a caring, loving, compassionate nation, and we are very generous. Think about all the money that we do give in aid to many countries and people around the world, not just our own people. But when you think about the humanitarian crisis, when you think about the crime, when you think about the schools, for example, and health services, how do you accommodate anywhere from whatever numbers you want to believe in? I mean, the federal numbers say as many as 11 million people have come into this country. But there are other estimates, because you have to think of the gotaways. There are other estimates that say as many as 20 million people have come into this country during the past 4 years, less than 4 years, right? And that's a lot of people. And people who come in literally with their clothes on their back, that's it. They have nothing. So they need everything, as if they're your, since I'm a mom of teenagers, as if they're, you know, your teenager who needs food, clothing, housing, medical care, right? Think about that. So as we think about that, think about what that does to education, to our schools. And do we have Meg? Yes. So you know Meg Brock. She needs no introduction and has authored her latest piece in the Daily Caller, which is an exclusive here, Migrants Overwhelming School Districts in Pennsylvania and Saddling Taxpayers with that Hefty Price Tag. So Meg, a suburban mom, and I know that you, like so many moms especially, but parents in our area, really affected by everything that's happening and realizing that policy matters, right, Meg? It's not just a boring thing on a piece of paper.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think that was one of the big things that many of us, myself included, became awoken to during COVID, is how much our local government, how much policy matters, and it really does have a impact on people's everyday lives.
So take me through the latest numbers as we learn about school districts in Pennsylvania, and now the need for, and you think about kids who need free, you know, don't have meals, need meals in schools and all of that, but as well, kids who do not speak English, or they speak very little English. And so what does that do to a school district?
Yeah, so we were looking into some of the immigration crisis that's obviously going on across the country, but especially in Pennsylvania. And on the Pennsylvania's Public Department of Education website, they actually had the English learner numbers, which are students who are learning English, and we found that there was a nearly 40% jump in 3 years. So the numbers went from around 72,000 to almost 100,000 in just 3 years. That's an increase of over 28,000 students, which is a lot of students to be entering the school system. And so we started submitting some public records requests and just getting an idea of some of the financial amounts. We estimated it could be costing taxpayers statewide almost $97 million a year in extra costs just to support these students. And then we also heard from parents who were having disruptions with their own children in the classroom, where their children were struggling to get the resources they needed because the resources were being diverted elsewhere.
And so, Meg, when I look at this, just to zoom out and remember the recent past, so we have in Pennsylvania, because we were under the reign of then-Governor Tom Wolf, who enacted some of the strictest COVID shutdowns and rules in the nation, and especially here in Philadelphia, but really Pennsylvania. And remember, we all voted as the Commonwealth voters thought that he overstepped and overreached and limited the executive powers of the governor, not just Wolf, but moving forward because of what Wolf did. And so because of that, we have a mental health crisis. We have children who have all of these years of loss of learning and are trying to do catch up. And so what your investigation and the Daily Caller investigative group, and you're not alone, there are others certainly who've pointed this out and parents have pointed it out. I think, Meg, kudos to you and Jason Hopkins as you really brought all of this data together. And it's startling.
Yeah, it is. It's very startling. I mean, it's a lot of, I think for me, one of the questions I was asking myself is, well, where did all of these students come from? I mean, you know, almost 30,000 students in 3 years is a significant surge. And you really ask yourself, where are these students coming from? I think when you look into, we talk about the border crisis, but it's hard sometimes to get strong numbers because the last census was in 2020. But for me, as I was researching this, I just found that this was some really hard data to prove that the crisis we really are experiencing in this country right now in regards to immigration.
And so, you know, 71,766 students who are apparently new students who are learning English as a second language. And so what is that as far as the resources? They have to spend all of this money to what? Bring in bilingual teachers, right? Is that part of it? Hiring, teachers who can translate.
Right. Yeah. There's different teachers. You think about in one of the districts provided us with information with a classroom where they found a kindergarten classroom had more than 50% of the students in the classroom were not English speaking students. They were English learner students. And you just think about the practicalities for a teacher. If you have a classroom of 20 kindergartners and you're trying to teach them how to learn to read and half the students don't speak English, well, how is that going to impact the other students who are there to learn as well? So, yeah, there's a lot of resources in terms of having to have adapted curriculum, hiring more teachers. And, it, you know, it puts a strain on the education system that is already, I think we could say, is already struggling to the points you made earlier with all the learning losses from COVID. We already see kids are already behind, and this is just putting further strain on that system.
And then is this a situation, because I have actually a girlfriend who's a teacher in Florida, and she's dealt with this. Is it a situation where their parents perhaps are working, let's say, you know, I'm thinking about the mushroom farms, I'm thinking about the different agriculture in Pennsylvania, but then they will leave at certain points. In other words, they're literally migrants who will go to where the work is. So they might be in Pennsylvania, then they might go to Florida, then they might go over here, over there. And so there's that going on, that they come and go. Is that something that you found?
Yeah, you know, it's, obviously I don't know exactly why people are coming and going, but speaking with some people in education and also just looking at the numbers. So on the Pennsylvania Department of Education website, they have the English learner numbers for every school district in the state. So it's very comprehensive. Anyone can go and look themselves. And you do see that fluctuation in the numbers where sometimes, you know, obviously the trend line is all going up, but sometimes you will see 1 year there's a few, there's, it's a bit higher and dips a little bit lower and then it jumps up again. And I did speak with an educator who said this was a problem that they were having, is that sometimes they would have students who would come into the district, they would have to hire teachers and get all the resources in place to support these students, and then they might be gone 6 months later. So then you've spent all this money on these resources that you, you know, might not even need anymore, but you're still in a contract with different educators, or maybe you've already purchased curriculum or other materials. And so again, the local school district is carrying that financial burden, and you have these students who are then just coming in and coming out. It does seem like it's a lot of resources to be used in a very transient way.
And so which districts did you find that you feel that had the most, or that were overwhelmed as we go through the you know, it's 500 districts, and they have the interactive map, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah, I mean, one of the just big numbers, which is probably not surprising, was the number of students in the Philadelphia School District. Mm-hmm. I think it had grown by, nearly 7,000 students in 3 years. The Philadelphia School District went from 16,530 EL students to 23,337, which is a huge amount of students. And then I think another thing was just looking at some of the smaller districts. So you have districts that are maybe a little bit more mid-sized. They don't have as many resources. And what we found was there was, I think, over 100 school districts we identified that had at least a 50% increase in their number of English learner students in the past 3 years, which, again, when you have a smaller district, it's going to be the resources are not going to be as vast as a place like the Philadelphia School District. And, you know, one of my co-reporter, Jason Hopkins, had spoken with a mom who said her daughter might have to redo kindergarten because she was supposed to be in Head Start, which was a program to give help her with some additional learning needs. And she got kind of bumped out because of just the strain of the increase in English learner students in her district.
And so, you know, as far as this goes, you know, I don't think anybody's talking about it. We never hear the story, which is, I mean, not a shocker when I talk about news narratives. But is this, you know, from your standpoint, let's say in Bucks County, in our Philadelphia suburbs, is this a reason that then people are, I don't know, leaving the school district, or the parents themselves, you know, as your article points out, you know, for a Head Start child who, because the resources are focused on kids who are trying to learn English, then does the burden go on the parent? They're trying to homeschool, or they're trying to hire a tutor, or thinking about a private school.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that, too, like you're saying, people aren't talking about. I mean, I think this issue is going to become more prominent because it is a pressure, and it's not any fault of any of the children. Obviously, the children who are here, you know, they don't have any say in where they're being sent or where they're being sent to school. And that was something that the people we talked to made it very clear. But it is just a reality is that if you have a bridge, you can only put so many pounds across a bridge before the bridge collapses. And I think when we think about the issue that the illegal immigration crisis is causing in our country, is that these systems we have in place are not unending. Like the public education system is not unending. I know everyone's already struggling to pay their bills and pay for the huge increase in your grocery bill. I mean, I don't know that taxpayers necessarily want to see their taxes continue to go up to continue to put more resources into the public education system. But, you know, these resources are finite, and there's going to, at some point, I mean, people can ignore a crisis, but at some point it's all going to come to a head, and there's going to be, you know, some more learning loss and more issues. And I hope that people are able to start talking about these things and really, really address the issue, and that we can get our border under control so we can make sure that our own kids are getting the education that they need.
Well said. Meg Brock, thank you so much. Everybody's got to check out. It's a great article. It's comprehensive, and you provide in it all of the links, especially if somebody goes online. So thank you so much, Meg. Always, always love hearing from you, and great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Meg Brock, great mom out in the burbs, got really, and you know, I mean, I've interviewed her forever, but has really been persecuted herself, by the way. Remember that? Her phone was blocked. I mean, I still can't believe that one, by her own county and her own school. Can you imagine?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, that is cray cray. And can you imagine if somebody did that to a Democrat? I mean, it would make national news, right? That's the sick part of it. By the way, moving forward, I have to tell you what's going on in Italy. You won't believe, see, they have the same, this issue of immigration, it affects everybody. So they bust all of the illegal immigrants. There's a report today to Albania. And this is the one that's making some headlines, but it, you know, many countries, and we're seeing this in Europe, are not alone in this. It's just that others are dealing with it in different ways than in America. So we'll talk about Italy moving forward. And right now I got to talk about Italy. Are you ready to escape with me thinking about paradise? Oh, the Italian Riviera. I hope you join me on this gastronomical event that only conservative tours can deliver. 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. And if you join me back in last spring to Southern Italy, you know by now Conservative Tours is the best, hands down, the best tour operator in all of Italy. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78. Yes, it includes your airfare, $53.78. Dining events at wineries, especially in Tuscany. Visiting an authentic farm to see exactly how Parmesan cheese is crafted by hand. Call toll-free 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com, scroll down, you'll see my picture there, and a description of each of these places. Hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, yeah, Michelangelo's Florence, ugh, Milan, concluding on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. Can't wait. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. Suburban mom turned, well, a bit of a activist, if you will, but suburban mom who really was activated during the pandemic, and wife and mom, who's a great lady. I hope you follow her on social media, but just always love to hear her calm voice with compassion talking about, yes, how illegal immigration is impacting our schools, children who are already suffering from a loss of learning. So if you missed the interview with Meg Brock, she's awesome. I just love her. I love, you know, everything about her, and I follow her on social media and her wedding anniversary. I forgot to congratulate her wedding anniversaries, and just really following her story with her parents, her tributes to her kids, and somebody who, that's just it, that the left would identify as, oh, this is one of those MAGA moms like they do me, some conservative kooky woman. No, we're just moms. We're just people. We just want to make America great again. We want the best for our kids, our community, and the best economy. That's really what it's about. And I think that's why so many people from different walks of life who were lifelong, you know, whatever, independents or Democrats or people who just didn't really vote or get involved, now activated. So we'll have a great conversation. Thanks to Dan Borowski once again, setting up Abel Maldonado, who served under Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. I do a horrible imitation.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That was bad. I gotta sorry. Say,
I would tell you it was good. And
sorry.
I feel like honesty is the best policy in this case.
Right? I know, I'm not good. Jimmy Kelly.
Hold on, I gotta ask.
What?
Is that true? Honesty the best policy?
No.
No?
Well, in certain things.
Yeah?
Not in marriage.
that's kind of what I was implying. Like, would you rather Larry be honest if you were... Well, you never look bad. That's the thing, though.
Well, no, but I think, you know, especially when you say, like, you're going out and you go, honey, does my butt look too big in this? As a husband, you should
be like,
never,
yeah,
no.
Definitely, yeah.
You should. Oh, the answer is you look stunning, baby. That's it, right? We got to have fun with that. But thanks for setting up Abel Maldonado. And he can really speak to, obviously, somebody who's a Politico and talk about, you know, from the perspective of immigration, among other issues. So, but somebody who's, I think, you know, he this is not a right-wing guy, you know, and to hear his perspective is interesting to me. So we'll talk to Abel. That'll be a great conversation. Get your calls. And as well, other breaking and developing stories of the day I want to update you on. So thanks for being here. For, my goodness, the news cycle just changes hour by hour, minute by minute. Greg Stocker announced that we're 500 and counting hours away from the election. So TikTok, and I think it's less than that. It's like 489 or something. But it's going to feel like 5 years between now and Election Day. And my main focus is to talk about the facts and get in there and talk about the policies and the facts. And what if I do my job right for you, then I bust through the lies and the headlines that I feel are media malpractice and get to the truth. And you always help us get there. So thank you.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.